We've been talking about Jesus calling us, and one of the things that impresses me about Jesus' call is that it's a call to life. You know, we were earlier singing praises to God, and one of the passages that was read during that period of our worship was Titus chapter, verses 3 through 7. What a wonderful blessing it is to be endowed with the power that Jesus gives us to overcome the struggles that we have with sin. When you think about overcoming those struggles, you have to think about where we started from. Where were we when Jesus called us? Well, Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1, the Apostle Paul describes where we were when Jesus called us. He says, "You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind. And we were by nature or by practice children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." That's where we were when Jesus approached us and said, "Come, follow me." We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we did walk in that. We were giving in to the passions of our flesh. We were carrying out the desires, that he says, of the body and of the mind, and we were by nature or by practice children of wrath. That's not a statement that we were somehow so cursed that we were children of wrath because of our nature, because of the things that exist in us as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve. He's just saying, "You used to do those things. I've been there. I've done that. I know the truthfulness of what the Apostle Paul said." And I think every one of us understands the truthfulness of Paul's statement. We used to walk in fleshly passions and the desires of our body, but we responded to Jesus. We put him on in baptism. We became his children. Why is it then that we still struggle with sin? Why do we continue to respond to passions and desires of the flesh? Well, the apostle's going to explain that. Why don't we just say no? So the way that sometimes we approach struggling with sin, we look to someone who can help us, and their answer to us is just say no. Just don't do it. And you know, the fact of the matter is, we want to say no. We put on Jesus. We want to do good. The fact is, Jesus is not trying to convince you to do something that you don't want to do. He's not trying to convince you to obey God against your wishes. In Romans, the 7th chapter, the Apostle Paul explains it this way. He says, I don't understand my own actions. Paul is just like us. He started out practicing the desires of the flesh and with the mind. He put on Christ, and he says, I still struggle. I don't understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And this is reading from the English Standard Version. It's a little bit easier to read than the King James. But you see the same thing in the King James, the New American Standard. He says, I do not do what I want. What he wanted to do was good. But I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it's good. So it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. And I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. He's not saying nothing good or the desire to do good does not dwell within me, but it's not a part of the flesh. He says, I have the desire to do what is right. And you know, just when we stop here for a minute, I think every one of us in this room can say the same thing. I want to do what's right. Problem is, he says, I don't have the ability to carry it out. I do not do the good that I want to do. But the evil I don't want to do is what I keep on doing. Does that sound like the struggle that you have? The struggle that the Apostle Paul had. I want to do what's right. I don't want to do all of those things that I'm used to do. He says, now the conclusion is, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now, clearly understand, when I say that Jesus is not calling us to a life doing things that we don't want to do, which is obey God. And frankly, I went down that road for a long time. Jesus calls us to stop doing what we want to do. I don't think that's right. That's not what Paul said. I'm not seeking to justify continuing in fleshly desires and passions. If that's what you think, and that's what you want to do, this lesson is not for you. This lesson is for people who want to do right and have difficulty doing it, and they're struggling to overcome sin like Paul. Now I get to participate in this lesson. Think about how the Apostle Paul concluded what he said in Romans 7. He asks the question, who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord for his grace. That's what lets us do that. Grace is not God saying, I really want you to do things that you don't want to do, and if you fail, I'll give you grace. Grace is God saying, I'll give you the ability to do the things you want to do. I'll give you the ability to do what's right. Because I know that's what you want to do. Now, if you're a Christian and you're struggling with sin, and it's still there, and you want to overcome it, Jesus is going to help. He'll give you the power to overcome. It may be that, like Paul, you have to say that the things that I don't want to do, I wind up doing. Turn to God. He's promised that he would forgive that, and he'll get you back on the path that you wanted to be on in the first place. That's what James said. But we want you to think about it. Think about what you really want to do. Do you want to do what's right? James is going to lead us in a song. I'll fly away. You know, it's kind of like Paul said, who's going to deliver me from the bondage of this day? So let's think about this while we sing this song, James McCrory.
Please stand.
Some glad morning when this life is over, God, fly away to the one God's celestial shore.
Couple of things we want you to be aware of before we get away. Again, welcome if you're visiting with us. We hope that you can come back and join us anytime that you're able to. If you came in this morning and you didn't pick up one of the bulletins, they're on the Cadenza Hub in the lobby, so be sure you pick one of those up. It'll help you stay up with the things going on among us. You know, the only way that we support ourselves is with the free will offering of our members. If you're visiting with us, we're not looking for your money, but we take this opportunity as part of this church here to support the work that we do. And as I said in the bulletin this morning, the elders want everybody to know that we appreciate the fact that you are very attentive to the needs that we have, the continuing needs that we have here in this place. And we, based on what you have made available, we have been able to meet all of our needs without having to dip into savings. We did have to dip into savings to put the gates up around the doors and back, but outside of that, we were able to meet the needs that we have here, and we want to see that continue. And there's always more that we can do. And we sometimes worry that we can't do everything that we want to do. But as the funds become available, we'll continue to do even more as a church. We want you to know that we'll be back this afternoon at 5:30. It'll be on Zoom as well, and we will be talking about obedience, and we'll talk about different kinds of commandments. We're going to talk about moral commandments and legal commandments or practical commandments. So come back and be with us this afternoon if you can, 5:30 here at the building. We talk about Christian characteristics on Wednesday evening. Some are meeting in the building, some are joining us on Zoom. And that's an opportunity for us to participate in that. John Hicks's co-worker's grandson, his name is Griff, his surgery has been rescheduled, but he is gaining a little bit of weight. And of course, that's a good thing. John was showing me a picture of him when he was here last week. And he's growing, but he's still not growing as much as they would like for him to. So we'll continue to pray for him. Casey Loughran's uncle, Andrew, was diagnosed with cancer. It was removed. And he is, at least the doctors believe, that he is cancer-free at this point. Her grandfather, Don, suffered a stroke just 4 days after her uncle was diagnosed with cancer. But he is recovering at home. Excuse me. And I didn't get a chance to talk with Casey this morning to find out how he's doing. But let's remember him. I think a lot of people know John and Phyllis Mulkey. They have worshiped with us and been part of our discussions in the evening on Sundays for some time. Got word that Phyllis passed away on July the 17th. She had suffered for a long time from MS. And so it's with a certain gladness that we can say that she has been released from the pain of MS. Anyway, there will be a memorial service for her on Friday, August the 1st at the Garden Way Church. I don't know exactly where that is, but I'll find that out. I'll send out a message so that everybody will know that. And I fumble-fingered listening to the message that they left on the recorder this morning, and I deleted it accidentally. So I don't know what time that memorial is going to happen on the 1st. That's this coming Friday. So let's do what we can to support John as he grieves the passing of his wife. Is there anything? Yeah.
His name is David.
David.
Or David, excuse me. What did I say? John. Anyway, let's support David as much as we can.